All right. Hey, good afternoon and welcome. It's good to be here with you today. Let's pray the chaplet. If you want to get in, I'm going to give you this number. Put it in the speed dial. Phone lines will fill up very quickly. I know it's going to be difficult to get through, but here it is. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Of course, Maggie is on social media. Hit her up on YouTube, Facebook. Just do a search for The Drew Mariani Show. You can send her a tweet or a post on our X platform, at Drew Mariani Show. So if you don't get through on the phone lines, we'll definitely be able to get your intention on the air. Maggie will give voice to it. But it's good to pray with you. Good to be with you today. I want to ask you, as I've been doing every day, continuing to pray for Father Richard Simon. You know, the Lord says, knock and the door will be answered. Seek and you shall find. Be persistent in your prayer. And that's what I'm doing for Father. I want complete and total recovery for him, and I hope you'll join me in that prayer. Let's today also pray for our country. Such confusion. Let's pray for peace in the world. And let's pray for you and for whatever needs you may have. Just want to share the quick email that came in. And Pam, I'm praying for you. She says, my brother has lung cancer. Could you have everyone pray for him? His name's Larry. God is in control, but Drew, it's so hard. We're putting him in God's hands, and we want a miracle if it is in God's will. But we still need also prayers for finances and for our health. So I wrote back to her. I said, hey, we're going to pray for you. I'll lift you up today. And she says, thank you so much for those prayers. I keep telling people to tune in and to pray the chaplet with you. They're not Catholic. She says, awesome. I'm not a Catholic either. But maybe I should be, because wow. I listen to this channel and on the radio all the time. And I know that everything is in God's hands.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great? Not Catholic. She's telling others to tune in and relevant. Prays with us. This is not just a Catholic prayer. This is a universal prayer, just like the rosary.
Amen.
The rosary is a scriptural prayer. And we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's what I love. So let's pray for each other today. Let me just share another quick email here, and then, Mag, I'll get some things for you. This person says, Drew, it's with an overflowing heart of gratitude and joy that we got the amazing word late last night that our missing teen girl is now back home. God is so good. Thank you for lifting her up at the start of the chaplet the other day. Oh, how God's heart must have been moved and delighted in hearing the prayers of thousands upon thousands for our dear daughter and his dear daughter. Just as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph had moved forward and heal after the frightening 3 days that Jesus was in the temple, our dear family will do as well. So we continue to lift up and trust God will fill us with love and healing. Congratulations. I say to you, Maggie, all the time, I say to those who pray with us, weird, right? There's like a charism with this chaplet.
Totally.
For some reason, I don't know, the missing... the abducted, the lost, they get returned, they get found, they come home. Organ donations, another one. People who need healing in those areas or transplants, they seem to get them. So God hears our prayers. Everything, of course, is in his own time. Anything you want to pray for, Maggie?
Yeah, I just want to double down. I want to pray for Beverly in Las Vegas, Nevada, who called in earlier. She says she needs prayers for her son, Chris. He's seriously ill, but she had a prayer of thanksgiving for us because of things that she had heard on our program. We had suggested a couple of things that she implement, and because she had been having disturbances in the home, and she's elderly and needed help. And she called back just saying that she's so much more at peace now. And I was like, that's such a win.
It is a win. It really is. And thank you for doing that. I know you took extra time to talk to her and walk her through all that.
Of course.
We're all family here, right? I believe that. And let's pray for each other right now. We'll turn to God. I'll try to maybe get an extra call or two on if I can today. But let's turn to our merciful Savior as we begin every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. We'll go to Tim in Lisbon, Wisconsin. Hi, Tim. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have a couple intentions. Sure. One is for Father Simon's health, souls in purgatory, end of abortion, and help in my financial situation.
Okay. Well, let's pray for you right now, all right? God can do anything. You know that, right?
And, yes, most definitely.
Situation can turn. I love it. There's a freedom when we let go. You know, when we say, Lord, I'm overwhelmed by all these situations, you know, especially finances. They can be a hard one. But God's a God of providence. So, Lord, I pray for today especially for real financial blessings on those who are struggling. I know how difficult it can be. So bless them, Lord. We continue to pray for Father Simon, for his healing. We pray for an end to the culture of death. Pray for healing from anyone who suffered the wound of abortion. And we pray for those who have gone before us. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Dana is in Marysville, Kentucky.
Maysville.
I'm sorry. I added an R. You're right. You know, I need glasses, Dana. That's probably what I need. I'm reading Maysville. The font's about this big. Good to have you with me.
Thank you. I'm calling about something that unfortunately a lot of parents are suffering right now with. My adult children have estranged me.
Oh, no.
And I haven't heard from one daughter since 3.5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And another daughter for a year and a half. They estranged me because I practiced the Catholic faith I raised them in. They estranged me because I rejected gender ideology. And then they started calling me toxic. And that's why they couldn't talk to me anymore. So many parents are experiencing this across our country right now, and the pain is just so deep, I cannot express it. And I have to say, it is diabolical. Satan wants to divide our families and break us apart.
I just want to express my heartfelt sorrow. You know, being shunned is a very painful thing, but especially to have no communication with your own children. I just can't even imagine it. My heart goes out to you. Thank you, though, for your witness. Thank you for calling. You know, Scripture tells us to be strong and courageous, right? The Lord told us, I think, in Isaiah, fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. You know, I'll be your strength. I'll help you. The Lord's going to bless you for this. And I'll tell you what, your witness to your children is going to be made even more powerful, because I really do believe the one prayer the Lord hears, Dana, and I know you're praying for them, is that prayer of conversion. And when they look back in retrospect and they see how steadfast you were to the truth and why you did what you did, it was truly out of love for them and for their salvation. I have no doubt that they'll have deeper admiration and even greater love for you. But Lord, you are our strength. You are our refuge. You tell us in Psalms that you are ever present in times of trouble. And I just, right now, I give you, Dana, and all parents right now that are separated from their children, wherever there's a rupture in relationships between spouses, between parent and child, between siblings, between friends or coworkers, but I ask that you allow your mercy to penetrate and to heal. But I pray for special graces for this mother. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And as Maggie and I are praying the chapel, we'll go to Northbrook, Illinois next. Your baby's kicking, isn't it, Maggie? Oh. I see you as we're praying the chapel, touching your stomach and smiling.
No, I know. Well, baby's been favoring the right side of my tummy, and I can feel it a couple times throughout the day. Baby will stretch and kind of push back, and so my belly gets really hard on the right side as I feel their back. So just while we're praying, we've got a lot of things coming in. Kelly from LA, we had prayed a number of times for her 20-something-year-old daughter, Noelle, who went missing a while back. She just sent a message on X. She said, Maggie, Noelle is still missing. She doesn't want to be found. And so her heart, I think, is broken as a mother. And we just need to pray for them. Paul from Texas says, my sister is bipolar, and she's in an extreme manic state right now. And he really doesn't want to see her have to go back into the hospital again. Pamela from New Jersey says, I'm praying for my family for test results, that they come back with good news. Sue Ellen says, please pray for the families and friends of 17-year-old Giovanni and 19-year-old Zachary, who were tragically shot last weekend in Moline, Illinois. Oh. She says, this has shook the entire community. Deborah is praying for the first-year encounter ministry class tonight, as they wrap up studies with an inner healing session for those who are trusting for guidance and healing as they discover the love of Jesus and his healing power. She says, come Holy Spirit. Janet is praying for success of the new messaging campaign launched by the American Pro-Life Movement. Katie,
what is that? Do you know what it is?
I don't know, but I'm praying for success for it too.
Me too. That's great.
Katie is praying in thanksgiving for all her blessings. She says, please pray for Hilda's soul. Hilda passed away late last night. Please pray that the family knows Jesus' peace and comfort. And Randall is praying in thanksgiving for his sister's successful delivery of their first child this morning, and a happy birthday to his new nephew, Joaquin.
Well, so glad to pray with so many people, right?
I know.
All over. I know we're streaming this on YouTube and on Facebook, and many people are joining us over the airwaves. We'll pray for each other and continue to call. Send us your petitions. Send us your answer prayers, too, because I know God is working. We hear a lot of those. You can send me an answer prayer by emailing me, drew@relevantradio.com. Mark an answered prayer or praise report. Tell me how we prayed the chaplet, how we turned to God, and how those answers came about. We'll go next to Kathy. She's in Northbrook, Illinois. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, Drew and Maggie. I have four friends, at least four, who are in constant pain and from various things. I would be so happy if the Lord would relieve it. And also, one of them asked me particularly to pray for her son, who is going to be in college next year. And she's asking the Lord to make sure that he remains faithful and chased.
Wow, what a good prayer. Well, let's pray. Let's pray right now. We'll lift up all of those intentions. And Kathy, I want to pray for you too, okay?
Thank you.
Praying for your friends and those who are in chronic pain. It's a tough cross to bear. But Lord, I give you a Kathy who interceded on behalf of others. I know you know her. and how much you love your daughter, and I ask you to embrace her and hear her prayers in a particular way. But I do pray for those with neuropathy, those who have chronic pain, Lord, those who have back problems, nerve issues. Lord, I give you the body, those migraines, that arthritis, all those crippling, debilitating, chronic maladies, Lord. I ask that you touch these souls and restore them. Give them reprieve. Lord, I pray for purity. I pray for those especially who find themselves in challenging situations, especially our young who are off to college or other areas where temptation could be great. So we lift up these intentions, united with all who now pray, as we turn to you again, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Wolverine, Michigan is next. Denise, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to pray for two friends and parishioners from my parish. One, his name is Kevin, and he has a reoccurrence of cancer. He's been going through a treatment again for the last several months, and sadly his cancer continues to grow instead of shrinking. But I told him I would call you because there are so many miracles that happen through praying the mercy prayer on your show. So I'm praying for him and also a little four-year-old girl that has cancer. Her name is June, and I'm praying for her complete recovery. She had surgery, and we're just kind of waiting to see what the results from that will be. So I'd like to lift both of them up in prayer.
Well, thanks for praying with us. Thanks for those intentions. And Denise, I want to pray for you too. But let's just claim this right now in Jesus's name. You know, Maggie, you know, Professor Gahn, who often comes on, he often prays in the name of Jesus, and there's a power in that name. So, Lord, I pray for those with cancer right now. I pray for absolute healing and miracles in your holy name, in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for those who need miracles. We just heard these beautiful prayers that have come in from Denise. So I ask you to hear that. And if you're praying with me right now, claim that victory. Claim that miracle. Place that problem at the foot of the cross and believe. Exercise your faith and your trust, and together we'll pray for each other. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll grab a few extra calls. I think I got a minute or two here. Angela is in South Dakota. Angela, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew.
Hi.
Yes, thanks for taking our call. I have a mother here. Together, we are going to pray for a miracle. Good. Her daughter is 16 years old now, but when she was 14, she had a traumatic brain injury. And she has bled from a blood thinner in her brain that caused her to have problems. And she did have some shunt placement, and she's needed hospitalization, rehabilitation.
Wow.
And family is noticing Opal was getting worse. So the medical staff entities sometimes were caring more about the financial gains than what's best for their daughter. So then they took her home, and she was discharged. And the mother has seven siblings along with their husband. And they put her in an environment where she's familiar with things. She was weaned off of meds. And then gradually she was improving in her life and skill building intervention we want help with.
Right.
but problems continue with medical negative attitudes and inaccurate judgments and HIPAA.
Well,
and when the mother deals with these things, she gets problems. You know, it seems like they're fighting with
her. Angela, let's put it in the hands of the Lord right now. Let's do that. I'm so glad you called with this intention, especially for this girl who has this brain injury and all the complications. But I give you in particular those right now who are having issues with insurance and finances, the right treatment, the right medications, the right approach, those who've been the victim of malpractice and other accidents or tragedies within the hospital. I bring to you this group of souls, but I give you this little girl who has this brain injury, and I give you Angela and all the intentions that Angela has here, and we bring them to the foot of your cross, and we will add Robin to the mix too. She's in Woodbridge, California. Hi, Robin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Drew and Maggie. God bless you. I was listening to the news here in Lodi, California, and there's a missing little girl. She's 11 years old, and her name is Mariah Lawson, and she's missing. So they put out on the news that, that the street she was at, but she's here in Lodi, and I just pray that she could be found. And I know that you have a very charismatic and very helpful through the grace of God.
It's not me. It's people. There's a charism with this chaplet for some reason, Robin, for the missing. I mean, we have had so many answered prayers. I mean, it's kind of crazy when we look at them, from the elderly to this child. But we'll pray for her right now. 11 years old. We'll lift her up, and I'm so glad you got through today. And of course, we'll pray for you too, okay? And let me add Jessica in here too. She's in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I'm calling to pray for my friend Ray. She's on hospice right now, but she's choosing to die rather than suffer with chronic pain. Mm-hmm. And I pray for her providers, for their hearts and souls, that they realize what they're doing, and that they encourage her to choose life.
Well, Jessica, I'm glad you called too. We'll pray for your friend. It's hard to lose somebody that you love, and but I pray for all those things. Again, the theme here today seems to be chronic pain, such difficulty for so many. I read this story, or it was an email that came in the other day of a man who wanted his wife to euthanize him because he's in chronic pain. And he just wants to be out of his suffering, and he wants to go home. Lord, I give to you all of these intentions. There's so many people who are on hold and who are praying with me right now, and someone who didn't get through. And I just give you our hearts. And I just ask in your mercy today, again, for grace, for an abundance of your mercy, for answered prayers, for resolution, for the lost to be returned, for those approaching eternal life to be embraced by you. Lord, I give you our needs and our wants. I give you those with financial problems, with relationship problems, with physical problems, emotional problems. And I give you all the crosses that so many carry as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Saint Matthias.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying. Send those intentions to Maggie at Drew Mariani Show. Send me the answered prayers to my email, drew@relevantradio.com. I know God's working. I know there's a lot of miracles that are unfolding right now. Recognize them and then thank God for them. And when we come back, I want to look at a couple different things. I just heard that Nicolas Cage is starring in a new horror movie called The Carpenter's Son. It involves Jesus. I'll fill you in on that more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Prayerfully consider a career where you can blend your faith and profession. Catholic Order of Foresters, our sponsor, is hiring agents in your market now. Go to relevantradio.com/forester. That's relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
Finish with all your gobbledygook.
Every life is sacred, Frank.
Some are less sacred than others.
The commandment, thou shalt not kill, does not have an asterisk referring you to the list of instances where it's okay to kill people.
What about self-defense?
It's a tricky one, all right.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining me. It's great to be here with you. That is audio from the movie Calvary. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. It's called Calvary. It's about an innocent Catholic priest in Ireland who's willing to go on his own cross. And, you know, it's something I've not yet seen somebody have recommended to me. And I thought we'd talk some good movies as well as some that may give you a pause. One's a horror movie, supposedly called The Carpenter's Son. And Peter Atkinson, I'll be stopping by, who gets up to speed on it all. But that movie, Forgiveness, it's a throwback all the way to 2014. Starred Brendan Gleeson. I was just talking to Peter Atkinson. He's a colleague of mine here. He heads up our entertainment division, the Mary Beggars, here at Relevant Radio. And if you're part of the Saint series, you'll appreciate his talent and his great works. Peter, you were just telling me that you you know the composer of that? That's one of your favorite movies?
Yeah, Calvary is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's actually, it's not made by a Catholic, but it's made by an Irishman. And he, McDonough, Martin McDonough, I believe. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous film. It deals with some very, very heavy topics. It is not a movie for children. It deals with the sex abuse crisis in Ireland and the Catholic Church and the fallout from that. We've seen the faith of the Irish, you know, fall away precipitously over the past couple of years. And this movie just portrays the heart of a shepherd, you know, the heart of a priest who, in the midst of this total devastation of faith, he takes on the suffering of his people. To me, you know, it's just one of the most inspiring films. And I know the composer, Patrick Cassidy, who composed the music behind it. And he actually composed a Catholic Mass, the composer, for Ave Maria University many years ago. And it's just an absolutely gorgeous work.
Well, we got a lot of movies to talk about this hour. I'll bring you up to speed on AI and a whole lot of other things. I've got some good news if you're just joining me and some bad news to report on sexual content in major movies. I don't know if you've been going to the movies noticing there's less sex in them, right? You're saying, what, really, Drew? No, there's less sex. The Hollywood Reporter wrote about a study that was done by a guy named Stephen Follows. He's a data analyst, and he looked at sex and nudity in major live-action films, and with each instance, he ranked them on a scale from none to severe and found that the level of sex content in the cinema has fallen by 40%. The number of films with no sexual content, well, that's risen 20% per year to roughly 50%. So that's the good news. Bad news, the sexual content has become more explicit. I won't go into specifics, of course, but Peter, what do you make of that? I find that striking. That's good news. Hey, less sex scenes in the films. You don't always need them. You look at these older films, they conveyed exactly what was going down without, you know, the explicit detail. But, you know, sex sells, and it seems that we're getting a little more explicit today.
Well, it's interesting. So I think it's a confluence of several factors. One is you're totally right. In the older films, there was lots of sexual relationships, but they were all of the sexual relationships were seen in the context of the whole relationship, yeah. Right? So that's why all these old movies are so charming, is because of course there's like this amazing tension between the male and the female, the fast talking reporter, but it's all inside of a human relationship, right? The proper context of sexuality. Sexuality is good, but it needs to be in its proper context. The study that finds the decrease in explicit sexual content in movies and film, that would be great news if people were only getting their media from the film and TV. But I think it's a few different things. One, pornography is ubiquitous. We all walk around with an X-rated theater in our back pocket. Yeah. And in Plato's Republic, the last part of Plato's Republic, he talks about the Ring of Gyges, which was an all-powerful ring that when you wore it would give you unlimited power, which is, you know, similar to the Ring of Power in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, a couple of millennia later, we made that and it's called a smartphone. And it ends up that when you give people unlimited access to unlimited media, most people just end up viewing pornography, right? As one of my professors at Ave Maria University said, he said, you know, the internet is a wonderful place. You can access all of Thomas Aquinas's texts for free, just anything a medieval scholar would dream of. The downside is everyone just watches pornography. It's terrible. Wow. And 30% of all data transferred on the internet is pornography.
Wow,
30%. Every third, one third. And pornography sites receive more visitors each month than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined.
Yeah, no, it's an epidemic.
It's unbelievable. I think so many of the social ills that we see in our society, from the decline in marriage rates are at an all-time low, to the decline in birth rates. We have a lower birth rate than Japan, and Japan just sold more adult diapers than baby diapers.
Wow,
so we're not
crazy.
On a good trajectory. I think underlying most social ills that we talk about is an endemic addiction to pornography that is running rampant through our society. Yeah. And I think the decline in sexual scenes that we see in movies and TV and whatnot is actually a symptom of that. It's that everyone is viewing so much pornography that they don't actually want it, unless it's so shocking that producers can use it to drive a PR cycle.
I think it's great. I mean, you and I had a conversation about this afternoon, and I thought, man, what a great insight. What would have been considered X-rated content a few years ago is now just R-rated content. Maybe NC-17. I mean, the needle.
Well, think about Game of Thrones,
moved.
Right? Think about Game of Thrones. So what was it? Game of Thrones became a hit 7 years ago, something like that. What was the conversation topic? The conversation topic was always, I can't believe that they just had this insane, explicit scene in the last episode of Game of Thrones, right? I never watched it, but that was always the water cooler talk. In other words, sex scenes went from pushing the envelope, from, you know, the skirt was now 2 inches above the knee,
that's
to
true.
How far can we push this? And is there some new form of depravity that we can find that will make people talk about the show? It's
like
not good.
it's like pornography. It has a way of desensitizing you. What was once titillating is no longer, and you need more and more. And I think the same thing is happening in media. But the study comes on the heels of other studies that show that young people, they actually want less sex in movies. And they would see more about platonic relationships and friendships in them. And then, of course, the other studies show teens having less sex. Why is that? Is it because they have access to it on their phones, their laptops, their computers? Is it a distraction from social media being involved in porn? I find that striking, especially for the younger demo.
I think it's because we're seeing a generation that was raised in an entirely digital environment. And as a result, you have a generation of people who are not familiar with the dynamics of relationships. I have a couple of friends who are teachers, and they talk about how the students they're seeing in their classroom now cannot hold eye contact.
Yeah.
Like you and I are in the studio, yeah. We're looking at each other yeah. for a certain person of a certain generation. That would be a deeply uncomfortable experience, right?
It's so weird.
And so you're gonna see drop-offs in sexual activity, some of which you would hope would be good, but the problem is it's not arising from the virtue of chastity having, you know, spontaneously exploding among the population as much as it is from Generation Z and beyond, just not having sociologists talk about failure to launch. They yeah. aren't gaining the basic skills needed to form interpersonal relationships. And so I think this is just stemming from that.
I think sociologists are going to have in generations to come when they look back at this era,
yep.
you know, with the advent of these of computer technology and the smartphone in particular, gosh, AI even, it's going to be an unbelievable, you know, time to study because we're seeing great societal change.
I think when we look back, you know, not we because yeah. we won't be around, but when right. people look back in 100 years, yeah. this will be as big an epic. The, yeah. the smartphone and then resulting AI, which are really close together in the yeah. grand scheme of things,
yes, yeah.
will be as big as the printing press.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 1,000%. I couldn't agree with you more. Hey, one more thought on movies. We talked about the movie you love. We're seeing the infiltration of sex in them. Nicolas Cage is going to be appearing in a film. I believe he's playing Joseph. There's a new film called The Carpenter's Son. I don't know a whole lot about it. I only read a little bit about it.
You know, if Nicolas Cage is in it, it will be top shelf acting talent. That's all. That's all you need to know.
So this film is supposedly being described as a horror film, The Carpenter's Son, a horror film about the early life of Jesus. It's based on the apocryphal infancy gospel of Thomas. That is a second century fanciful Gnostic gospel telling about the early life of Christ. There have been other religious horror films out there too. You know, Immaculate is one, The First Omen. What's this one? This one I think is probably going to get not only a lot of buzz, maybe a lot of kickback, but tell me about The Carpenter's Son. A horror film is about the early life of Christ and spiritual battles he had, or what
I would group this in a whole bucket of horror films that are taking cultural artifacts that are loved by many people and then just turning them on their head to be horror to get a reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So Winnie the Pooh became a horror film. You had Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer become a horror film. You had Santa Claus become a horror film. And I think in the producer's mind, obviously we as Catholics, you know, can see blasphemy from a mile away, but from the producer's mind, this is just another way to sort of generate outrage. So in the infancy gospel of Thomas, which is an apocryphal text, Jesus is described as animating clay birds. He's described as, causing harm to children who challenge him, you know, just sort of like crazy stuff, right? So the producers took that and are running with it. And we don't have too many details about the movie, but I think it's safe to say that none of us will be, you know, buying tickets on the first night. It's probably going to be a blasphemous horror show.
So what was it? The First Last Temptation of Christ got a lot of kickback when that first came out. I mean, there was a lot of, this one just seems like that's going to be the case. I mean, Christ harming other kids.
Yeah. You don't know what they're going to pick from the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, but I don't think it's going to be good. And, you know, there are a lot of DreamWorks, Sony, and other Lionsgate have started to pick up on the fact that there is an underserved Christian market.
Yep.
And I don't know if the producers here are thinking that, you know, maybe Christians will want to go see this. And if they do, I think they're sorely mistaken.
I think that's part of it. I mean, there's going to be inevitable controversies. There's going to be criticisms.
Oh, yeah.
From all corners regarding this, boycotts, whatever. But yeah, it's going to be free advertising. Mm-hmm. There's going to be talk shows going to be talking about it, right? There's going to be nighttime TV shows dealing with this issue. And this movie, The Carpenter's Son, people are going to say, well, let's go see it. Let's go check it out.
No, I think that's absolutely right. You know, how did Donald Trump come to the presidency without spending a single advertising dollar? He got people outraged at him for 24/7 for a year and a half and, you know, got the presidency. So outrage really does have the power to drive the conversation. And if you can do that, if you can make that happen, then at least financially, you can have a success.
Well, I'll tell you, I need to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll pick up our conversation. There's a lot more to talk about here. You and I have talked AI a lot
yes,
in
we
the
have.
Past. And, you know, OpenAI has come out with one of the newer versions. And I won't, can interpret sarcasm and a whole lot of other things. Can't wait to get your take on that. If you want to join us, too, feel free to pull up a chair. Peter and I would love to talk with you. 888-914-9149. We're going to be back in just a minute, so hang out with us.
We go there. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, offers graduate degrees in education, business, and humanities that can help you seek wisdom, live abundantly, and pursue your calling. Learn more at relevantradio.com/UDallas. That's relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Taking care of business every day.
He has a microphone, and he knows how to use it. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, taking care of business. Good afternoon. Great to be with you today. Always good to hang out, giving you a look at life. I hope you won't find anywhere else. If you're new to the show, set it to, well, whatever you're listening to us on right now. If you are in the car, program that into the radio. And if you are listening online or over the mobile app, fantastic. Maybe share the show with someone else. If you miss something, you said, oh my gosh, I wish I could listen to that again, or I got to share that with so-and-so, you go to the podcast. Don't forget to hit the Drew Mariani Show podcast. Great way to get plugged in. Also, I'll give you one other thing you might want to check out. It has received overwhelming acclaim. A lot of people are gravitating to it. And it is the same series that Relevant Radio is putting on here for you through the Merry Beggars. And Peter Atkinson, he heads that up. He's here. Peter, I want to talk AI with you, but before I do, let's talk about what you're doing very quickly so people can get up to speed on not only the series. And I don't know, how long is the series going to go? Is it open-ended?
It is. Well, as long as there are saints, Drew, I'm hoping that it's open-ended.
Ooh, we got the 800 Martyrs of Otranto, so he should be around for a while.
One
of those guys.
It'll be good.
That's wild. You're working on Charbel right now, right?
Yeah, so for those...
he's one of my favorites, by the way.
Charbel's amazing.
I love Saint Charbel.
Charbel's amazing. I said a novena to him when I first met my wife, so he has a special place in my heart. For those who don't know, the Saints podcast is an audio drama series about the lives of the saints, basically taking the heritage of our faith, all of the saints, and bringing Oscar-nominated directors, writers from Broadway, over 400 actors, and producing 5-part adventure series about the lives of each of these saints. So, you know, talking St. Patrick, Joan of Arc, Pier Giorgio Frassati, Carlo Acutis, Therese of Lisieux, Teresa of Avila, like all the saints, right? And this week we're doing Charbel Makhlouf, who is a Lebanese saint of wide acclaim, a lot of devotion in the Middle East. Strangely, a lot of Islamic devotion to him as well. He was a Maronite Catholic, and just an incredible example of someone whose life was humble and simple, and God used that and uses that life today to just intercede all around the world. So that's the story.
And his story, I don't know how much you get into the latter part of a story, you know, after his death, he became known for the miraculous intercession, healing of the sick. His tomb in the monastery became a pilgrimage site. Light came from the tomb. He was found to be incorrupt for a period of time. Oil oozed from his grave. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, I would invite you today, if you're listening, first, plug into the story because it's an inspirational one. And Saint Charbel's one of my favorites. He's in my top 10. Great, great saints. We should be calling upon his intercession for the Middle East. As you know, Lebanon is just north of Israel. Of course, we've got problems with Hezbollah and a lot of other issues. But let's ask him for peace in the Middle East. Then ask him for healing for you, for whatever you need. I mean, the miracles are legion. They are off the charts when it comes to him. And the best way to get that is simply go to relevantradio.com.
Yeah, you can go to relevantradio.com, and then you'll see the Saints logo there on the top left. Or you can just go to thesaintspodcast.com, and you can find all our episodes there.
Well, we've got a few minutes. I do want to, maybe I'll sneak a quick call. Let me grab this call for you. Then I want to talk AI with you. Haley is in Cooksville, Tennessee. Hi, Haley.
Hi. I wanted to ask, because I've heard the commercial with Mr. Atkins about the fact that he was homeschooled and stuff. So I just wanted to ask this question. And by the way, I do love the Saints podcast. I'm thinking about homeschooling for my kids. And with my son, I'm wondering, because you're a guy who went through homeschooling, do you think it would be better to do homeschooling when a boy's a teenager, or would you think it's more good for his masculinity perhaps to go to a boys' Catholic school that's one of these newer ones that's like more out in the country and that sort of thing? I don't know if you've heard about these where they like do more farming and they're focused on the classics. And I just wanted to know if you had an
opinion.
They
have an age limit? Can I, you know, could I go now? Cause that sounds amazing. So first of all, one quick question is, does he have any siblings?
Yes.
Okay. So, the reason I ask is, for me, I was the youngest of six. So growing up homeschooling, so much of my homeschooling experience was the friendships I had with my siblings. And that was just such a valuable, valuable experience. Look, I can't, you know, it's hard to give an abstract answer of do this, do that, because so much of it is prudential. You know, so many schools are Catholic, but they aren't really a good environment. So many schools might be Christian, Protestant, but a fantastic environment to grow up in. So a lot of it is really prudential. But the thing I would say is, when you're young, you're the sum of the 5 to 10 people that you hang around with. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing about my experience homeschooling was we connected with about 20 to 30 other Catholic homeschool families who are on fire for the faith. And of that friend group, I think about 15 are now priests.
Oh, wow.
Like they're just populating the East Coast with the priesthood. So I would really look at the peers that he'll have access to in both of the environments. And that would at least be one thing that I would look at as you discern, because as a young man, you need peers to show you how to be virtuous. It does not come naturally.
Yeah, it's a great point. And Haley, you know, how much time do you have? Are you capable of doing it? Are you going to integrate with other homeschooling families? If you do, then that's
a
factor.
And will it be effective coming from his mother?
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, if you have no concerns about what's going to be taught to your child academically or morally, and he's going to have a great outdoor experience as well, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good plan, but it's really up to you. Pray and discern that.
Yeah.
But I mean, both are great routes. You know, I'd be a little concerned about some other institutions, and if you're going to send your kid to them, make sure you do your due diligence. All right.
There seems to be a really interesting one in Kansas right now called St. Martin's, which is it's like out in the country. They live together. They worship together. They have, they seem to have very holy people involved. And it seems to be an extremely masculine kind of environment. Cool. So it was just something that I was wondering. So thank you for your thoughts.
Yeah,
you got it.
I can only say that I can only speak from my experience on this, but I think the quality of the peer group that you're a part of is the most important factor. Yeah. And then other than that, it's just academic excellence and physical activity.
So you were homeschooled. I went to a Catholic grade school. So we have two different, and I like you point out, I have lifelong friends.
Exactly.
And the guys, I still see these guys years and years later. Haley, maybe I'll do a radio show on it. Maybe I'll look at homeschooling and some of these others. I was unfamiliar with the Kansas City thing. I don't know, you're in Tennessee, so to send your child to Kansas City, be away all that time, you know, it's a conversation I guess you have to have with your husband and everyone else, but we'll pray for you for sure. Peter, I only have a couple minutes left here. Very quickly, and we'll maybe revisit this in another time, OpenAI has unveiled its latest product update, GPT-4o, right?
Correct.
Little
they
o.
really know how to make product
lowercase
names that
o.
roll
it's
off
not even
the
that
tongue.
Big. It's an advanced version of ChatGPT-4. And I think ChatGPT-4 you had to pay for, right? It was 3.5.
Yep.
You needed a subscription for 4. Now they're coming out with an advanced one. This one, I understand, can detect sarcasm, which is pretty amazing. But fill me in. What are the key features of it?
So ChatGPT-4o stands for omnimodal. A modal in artificial intelligence refers to a type of communication. So written is one mode of communicating, speaking is another, visual is another. ChatGPT-4o appears to be able to process across all of them. What does that mean? That means that you'll be able to hold your camera up to a wine store and basically stream video live to the artificial intelligence and ask information about your environment as you go about your day.
I love it.
It's hard to understand how powerful that is until you see it. Every child 10 years from now will have their phone looking at their homework, guiding them through their homework as they do it. The thing that's really scary and just weird is the level of emotional intelligence that the voice feature has feels like you're actually talking to a human being. And what's strange is it'll have emotional reactions which will make you laugh and feel things. Oh, wow. And then you'll check yourself and be like, wait a second. Why am I feeling something for this computer? Why am I laughing as if it's a close friend? Like that's the scary thing.
People are going to form weird relationships
the
with
scary
with
thing.
Their
so
computers.
People talk about parasocial relationships, relationships that we have with celebrities.
Yep.
This is a brave new world, and it's a super exciting time.
Let's talk about it again. Maybe next week or later in the week or some other time, I'll grab you back. We can dive into the strange but ever-evolving world of AI. It's top of the hour. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. So stay with me. We've got a lot to get into.